1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on day two of the inquest into Scotland's humiliation in Kazakhstan. Alex McLeish says he won't walk away despite arguably the worst result in our history. And as if things can't get any worse, we're now off to face the lowest ranked team in the world. Surely not. I'm joined tonight by Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans.
There was a time when the calamity in Kazakhstan would have prompted a manager to offer his resignation. There was a time when the worst defeat in our international history would have forced the SFA to take matters into their own hands. But times have clearly changed. 25 hours after our national humiliation, we haven't heard a single word from the SFA president, Alan McRae, or his chief executive, Ian Maxwell. They're playing at mutual protection and hoping the fuss will die down sooner rather than later. But the public are on to them. Alec McLeish got the Scotland job because of the old Pals Act, in my opinion. The SFA didn't take time to carry out a proper search for Gordon Strachan's successor, and now look where we are on the back of cronyism. Scotland has the national team the SFA deserves. It's a team that's like the SFA, unfit for purpose.
Well, you can't disagree with that, Hugh. I've been racking my brains since last night when everybody says, is this the worst Scotland team ever? I can remember back in 78 when we lost the first game against Peru. We were hopefully going to beat them. Everybody was saying that Peru have done absolutely nothing. We should beat them. We get beaten 3-1. The next game was against Iran, who would never even realised they had a football team, you know, and we drew one each with them. And people said after, exactly the same as they're saying now, you know, that was the worst result in Scotland's history. But at least Iran got to the World Cup, so they paved their way to get there. This team have done absolutely nothing. And I'm in no doubt that this is probably the worst result we've ever had for where they are in the rankings and where we are. It was an absolute, it was the way we played it got me. But I can tell you something, when I saw the team last night, I went, well done, Alec McLeish, because that's a young side. You know, all the lads that are playing there have played really well as individuals, but can they do it as a unit? Because they haven't played together, especially a back four. We've just seen each other in the last 5 or 6 days before the game. There was no talking, there was no communication between them. There was nothing coming from midfield. The only one that looked sharp in the first 2 or 3 minutes was Ollie Burke, who got to that byline about 3 times. But his cutbacks never went to a Scotland shirt. But it was very, very poor. And yes, and Alex McLeish will put his hand up. He's the manager. He will take the blame. But the players have got to look at themselves in the mirror as well. This was players that were playing at the peak of their form for their clubs. They've got their chance. They're thrown into Scotland and they've blown it.
Hugh, I'm not sure it really matters whether it is the worst result of all time or the second worst or the third worst. It doesn't really matter. No. But since we're on the topic, you've seen many lows, a few highs along the way, of course. You've seen many lows. Is this as low as it gets for you?
I think so. I go back to the Iran game that Derek's speaking about. I mean, Eskandarian is famous among Scotland supporters because we needed him to score our goal as well in a 1-1 draw. So, but at least we had qualified for a World Cup. This is an ongoing saga of underachievement. And I repeat, the appointment of Alec McLeish for me was not made on a sound basis. Michael O'Neill turned us down. Instead of then renewing the search for a manager, Alan McRae, a long-standing friend of Alec McLeish, in my opinion, decided to call on his pal.
Don't forget we do a Friday night football in the Championship tonight. Partick Thistle up against Inverness Cali Thistle. And of course later on, your chance to win £500 with the Stove Centre Glasgow and YouTube Storytime. The man himself is here, but we'll give you the pre-recorded version. Derek Johnson's looking YouTube. Confused. Don't worry. All will be revealed later on. The chance to win £500. The number you need right now though is 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather tweet, we are at Clyde SSB. Let's get straight to it, shall we? The pressure is on Alex McLeish after that defeat. The 3-0 loss, clearly a huge blow to our hopes of making Euro 2020. The manager isn't being drawn though on suggestions that it's a sacking offence.
It's never finished till it's finished. We bounced back from a poor performance in the Israel game. That's what we must do after this game. Now we have other players to come back. Obviously, there's players with more experience who have got to come back to the Scotland, have to come back to the Scotland squad. So, you know, obviously we need to have as strong a squad as we can if we're going to be successful in qualification. I'll just continue doing my job. Suffice to say, I'm not going to get drawn into that question.
Well, again, why didn't Alan McRae say something? Address the Scotland fans, not just the 600 who took the time and spent the money to go to Kazakhstan, but to the tens of thousands that Alan McRae will expect to flock to Hampden for the home ties in our qualification group. Or why didn't the chief executive, Ian Maxwell, have something to say? The SFA are inactive, they're never proactive. No matter what happens in this game of ours, on or off the park, point throwers, flame throwers, bottle throwers,
flame throwers,
hammer throwers,
pitch invaders, they get nothing to say, nothing to do about anything.
In fairness, I wonder, do we cut them any sort of logistical slack? I mean, everyone's in Kazakhstan, they're now heading to San Marino, we're right in the middle of a double header. We play again on Sunday. I get what you're saying, but was the removal of Alex McLeish really realistic in between those two games?
You don't need to discuss the removal. If you're Alan McRae, you come out and say something. It might be the opposite side of the coin. Come out and give Alec your backing. Or Ian Maxwell, come out and say something. But the whole policy is dive under the bed until this goes away. No matter the issue, just stonewall it.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. Jamie's first up in Kilsyth. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. I'm 62, I've watched Scotland for years, way back now. Scotland has never been brilliant in the international scene. But I remember the Ace of Hartford's, Dalglish and Souness and all of them. They put that jersey on and they played for that jersey. They actually played. They had pride. Last night was a total shambles, a shambolic. And I remember years ago in the internationals, we used to go, the Whipping Boys. You know, the other teams, not Scotland. But I'll tell you, there's only one Whipping Boys in the international scene, and that is Scotland right now. Anybody that takes on Scotland must be rubbing their hands and going, we'll definitely beat them. Well, and I'm talking about this game, San Marino. If we get beat with them or even draw with them, my God, what do you do next?
Well,
absolute shambles.
I've always maintained on this programme, and I believe it to be true, that Auchinleck Talbot would beat San Marino. This is a country who have not scored a goal for themselves in San Marino for 6 years. They lost to Poland 5-1 in 2013. That was the last time San Marino scored a goal for themselves in San Marino. Now, to go back and address Jamie's point about the days of Dalglish and Souness and Joe Jordan and all the rest of it, we had a golden era. It started in 74 and ended in 98. We had that golden era. Now, I believe there is not the same talent. That's okay. You know, you can be a terrific nation for a long, sustained period, and then there comes a more barren period. That's okay. That's football. But I do not believe there's the same desire on the part of some players to come up from England and play for Scotland.
I think that's a harsh thing to say, Hugh, because everybody wants to play for their country. I know they didn't play well, and we'll slaughter them for that bit. That for me, it looks as if it's going to be a one-off when you get so many players that didn't play well tonight. It's happened to league players, and it'll happen to international players again. This is players that have been on the top of their game, and they're desperate to play for their country. I like McGregor when he came out after the game and said, look, we put our hands up. You know, we weren't at it. Now, they don't go there deliberately saying, oh, we're not at it. They actually try, but it just didn't work for them on the night. They played against a team that played out their skin. Every single
I'm
one of
them. I'm not talking about the ones who were there last night.
And we couldn't handle that. The one thing that Scotland have always had was, let's roll the sleeves up and let's get into them.
I'm talking about those who could have been there, but weren't. And you've got Darren Fletcher this morning saying that he's not buying this excuse. Now, this is a man who played through serious illness when part of the Scotland squad. He's not buying this excuse about Or will not send Callum Patterson or Ryan Fraser because it's a synthetic surface.
Yeah, nonsense.
You know,
yeah. I think to be on in those occasions, I mean, that's driven by the clubs, though.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Absolutely. But I should say, to address Jamie's point, he's talking about an era when, and if you go back even further, people used to, Gordon McQueen used to tell me that his father made his wife drive over the border to Scotland to make sure that Gordon was born in Scotland, so that in the days before the granny rule, so that there was absolutely no dubiety that his son would play for Scotland if he was good enough. That kind of passion for the country no longer exists.
I think the passion was there, Hugh, because we had good players and we had a good side. There's a difference between 74 and 78, right through to 98. We had great players then, leadership in the side. There's no leadership in the team. Now, that's nothing to do with Callum McGregor. He was the captain. You need more than one leader in a team. We didn't have any last night. You need somebody, dare I say it, somebody like Scott Brown in that side. Wouldn't have stood for that. Hira rattled a few of these players last night to try and get them going. We didn't have anybody like that.
The thing for me, Hugh, is there's a huge gap which allows for a happy medium. We don't need Souness or Dalglish or Jordan to beat Kazakhstan.
No.
We've long since known that we're nowhere near that level. But my goodness, surely to goodness, what we've got at the moment is good enough to beat Kazakhstan, or should be.
When Gordon Strachan was removed from office after two attempts to reach a major tournament, we then embarked on the search for his successor and decided that Michael O'Neill was the one. When Michael O'Neill said no, we should have gone back to the drawing board. We should have conducted a proper search to find the very best manager, either Scottish, Irish, I don't care what they are, any foreign nationality. But we did not. We turned to Alec. That's not his fault. I believe that was the SFA's fault for not conducting a proper search.
Jamie.
Yes. I would just like to ask Derek and Shu. Last night I watched the game. I wasn't expecting a great deal, to be honest, because I'm saying to myself, you know what Scotland's...
Yeah.
Scotland, it's a lucky dip.
But you were expecting a win, Jamie. You were expecting a win.
I was expecting a win, but not a big win.
Yeah,
I
was just a win. Yeah,
just a win. Or, you know, but see, at the end of the day, I'm getting back to the years. That's why I was saying a way back, and I was mentioning the names of the Scotland players. But I'll tell you what, me Scottish players through their years, when they put on that jersey, they play for that jersey. I'm not saying it's pretty sometimes, but the pride to even put that jersey on and play for your country. That should be enough motivation to go out there and play. Now, see, last night, I didn't see any of that. And see, another thing, see, if you ask me to give marks out of 10, it'd be minus zero. Not one of them played any good.
The story goes deeper than what happened last night. It was, for me, the worst result ever. But it goes deeper than that. It's the classic, where do we go from here? Because clearly, there is a lack of faith in the management team. James McFadden, Peter Grant and Alec McLeish. And there's a lack of confidence in the national side, and the public are not happy with what they are looking at in terms of the management structure or the SFA hierarchy, and they want change.
But you know what has to happen, though, Gordon? You know what has to happen? We have to win at San Marino. It's all right saying, Cyprus beat them 5-0, but we're now talking about Scotland, whose heads are on the ground. You know, and they've obviously had a talking to by the manager. Does he play roughly the same side, or does he throw five out and bring another five in? Robertson may not be back to play at left back. We need a win. If we do not beat San Marino, then we have major, major problems.
Graham's in Easterhouse. Hi, Graham.
All right, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Graham.
All right, Hugh, Derek.
Hi, Graham.
Derek, see, yesterday wasn't a surprise to most people. Celtic went to that same stadium and lost 4-2 with good players, a really good team. So there, I think what's wrong is the coaching in this country. Celtic are a really good team. I mean, Forrest and McGregor, probably two of the best players in the country, play every week to a good standard, but they're not getting tested. They're playing the game in the other team's half, and that's what's wrong. When they move up, they're not getting guys running off them, they're dropping runners. It's the coaching that's wrong. You've got McInnes, Clark, Levine, go to Celtic Park and don't come out of halfway line. It's a problem.
Not quite true either. Kilmarnock have been a thorn in Celtic and Rangers' side.
Yeah, Graham's talking about the way they become that thorn.
Well, you know, that side last night was more than good enough on an individual and collective basis.
It's Kazakhstan we're playing, for goodness
sake.
So,
this is not the time to go into some in-depth look at coaching in this country. We had at the back Graham Shinney, who is wanted by Rangers for next season. We had Scott McKenna, who was the subject of a £4 million bid by Celtic. We have Bates, who could be in the German Bundesliga next season with Hamburg. We have Callum McGregor in the middle of the park by common consent, one of the best players in the country. James Forrest, who's done exceptionally well for Scotland in the past. There were plenty of players on that park who should have guaranteed us a result.
And that is the point. I get why people want to look at the bigger picture. We usually save them for the end of the campaign when it's definitely done and dusted. But I've seen a lot on social media today, you know, again, a re-examination of grassroots football, a re-examination of how many teams we've got in the league and things like that. And whilst that will undoubtedly feed into a bigger picture, regardless of any of that, we should have beaten Kazakhstan. We should have been good enough. Those players should have been good enough.
Correct.
So we have to
people
be a
love,
bit, we have to be slightly more careful with the scattergun tonight, surely.
The players that played last night are a lot better than they showed last night. You know,
that why it comes back on the manager then?
Yeah, that's why I'll always come back to the manager, because it's the manager that picks them. He lays down the tactics and everything else. And I've said it many, many times on this programme, you can be the greatest tactician in the world, but if you don't play, tactics go out the window. And there's nobody got pass marks last night for Scotland.
I maintain the same desire to play for the country is not there, and that's for the SFA to examine. And I maintain that we had players last night who were able to beat Kazakhstan.
Are you talking to you about the ones that didn't turn up or the ones that played last night? There's no desire.
Well, no, obviously, if they turned up, there's desire.
Yeah, so you're talking about the ones that didn't show up.
If you went 3,500 miles to Kazakhstan, you have a desire.
Let's give Graham the final say.
You were saying there that team should have been good enough to beat Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, they weren't. They beat 3-0. They weren't good enough to beat Israel, are we? They're very, very good players to get to a level, and then they're just... it's the coach in this country. It's the game. And Celtic have won... we've got to win 3 trebles in a row.
Well, there's the point then, Graham. If you want to talk specifically about last night, we are in the absolute gutter at the moment, but you're trying to tell me that Kazakhstan's got a better coaching structure than we do.
A better what?
Coaching structure than we do.
Well, obviously they have. They beat you 3-0.
Well, I think that's a bit of a simple conclusion to jump to.
That's a simplistic knee-jerk reaction. It's the coaching in this country. Nonsense.
01419511025. Thank you, Graham. On Twitter, Lewis McInnes says the SPFL is a bad standard. It shows in our national team. Scott McKenna gets a cap over Liam Cooper, who plays at a higher standard down south. Being in form against Scottish teams doesn't mean you're a world beater, and that shows in the national team. But again, this pointing finger at leagues is tough as well, because Liam Cooper plays in the same league as Ollie McBurney, and the reason that he was in the team is because he's been in great form in that league. And then you hear people saying, "Huh, just shows you the championship down south is rubbish." So we're jumping to all sorts of conclusions.
Bottom line, we're playing the team ranked 117th in the world, who have a record at international level in the major competitions which is laughable, and we contrived to lose 3-0 to them.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. We'll hear more from Alex McLeish after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. How's the cold coming along, Hugh Keevans? You're sounding a bit bunged up. You're sounding more nasally than normal.
All I can say to you is you should have heard me yesterday.
Is this you on the road to recovery?
Yes, well on the road.
I looked up, I'm obviously very busy during the breaks, as you can imagine, and I looked up and Derek and Hugh were taking it in turns at sniffing Hugh's nasal inhaler.
Well, you didn't think it was working. I had to test
so
it for him.
It was a bit strange. I'm glad that you're back with us and we can get on with the football.
It nearly knocked my head off and I gave it back and I can't smell anything.
We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Andy says, no player has respect for the manager. He was appointed out of an old pals act. I particularly like old rather than old. And MC says, you can't blame grassroots football. It's the professionals that didn't play last night. That's where the blame lies. If people keep hounding our grassroots programme, we will never move forward. 01419511025. Kenny's in Motherwell. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Kenny.
Not bad, Kenny. You've had a day or so to try and get over it. What did you make of it?
I'm not going to get over it. I'm not going to go over it, because the thing that really annoys me about it is, you know, as Scotland fans, you know, as a common man, you look forward to these games. You gee yourself up, waiting to watch your national side. I mean, I've seen myself mow a salt iron at my front lawn because I'm so passionate about seeing my country play. And then, you know, to see the lack of effort getting put from the guys on the pitch, it kills us. The argument of people not wanting to play in these games because it's an AstroTurf pitch for me is an absolute nonsense. You know, you've got guys up and down the country who play Saturday and Sunday football on AstroTurf pitches that will be nowhere near as good as the one in Astana. You know, we play for the love of the game. We play with our mates. We play to get ourselves out of the house. You know, we do all these things. We love the game. And, you know, you take any of those guys who play on a Saturday and Sunday on these pitches and say, do you fancy going to Kazakhstan to travel 4,000 miles and represent your country? They would run through a brick wall. They'd give their left and the right home all to be on that pitch playing for us, to take it to them, and to not give them an inch to try and get us to a qualification period for a major finals that we've not seen in years. They all run through brick walls for it. Why can't they?
You're putting the case, Kenny,
more than anything else.
Kenny, you're putting the case forward for the ordinary man. And my answer to you is, it's as politicians always say, there's a need for a root and branch investigation into all of this. I detect an apathy among certain players. I detect an apathy among what used to be a very, very big support and is now not as big a support. And I believe that we lack inspiration on and off the park at the moment.
The problem with the plastic pitch one, Hugh, in particular, let's take Ryan Fraser, for instance. I mean, that's clearly Bournemouth that are driving that. I don't think Ryan Fraser just decides, listen, I'm not playing in that. You can forget it. I'm not playing in the plastic pitch. And this goes back to this relationship between international football and club football, the way players, and perhaps players do then prioritise their club football. I would like to have been privy to the specific discussion about that.
But the national side can, you know, insist.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How much can Bournemouth dig their heels in?
Now,
when you're talking about the plastic pitch and that people are looking for their club careers, right? And, you know, I'm putting an argument for you for the common man. We used to have a guy that played in our team who was injury prone, and he would pull out of tackles, right? All the time, right? He became a liability to the team. Now, I'm not wanting players in our team that are going to say, do you know what? I might get injured here. I'm not interested in that. No. See if you're
wrong attitude.
No. Well, I don't know. You say it's the wrong attitude, Derek, right? I'm not trying to be funny, but see the players that you wanted next to you in the park in your playing days were the guys that were going to go through folk, like Bomber Brown and Richard Goff.
But you don't want people. I don't want Brian people Manley beside me as making excuses before a ball's kicked. That's what I'm saying to you. I don't want anyone like that to be beside me in the park.
Kenny, you are here putting forward the case for the common man, as you say. What is the common man's response to the management structure of the national team at the minute?
Well, do you know what? We've all played. See, if I'm putting as an argument as a common man, right? Put it as an argument as a common man. We've all played for teams that we maybe didn't like the manager, but we're just desperate to play, right? And so for Scotland, it should be no different. What is this?
Kenny, address the question directly.
Well, he is. He's accepting that maybe some of the players don't like it, but they should be able to get over themselves, is what Kenny's saying.
Do you want Alec to remain as the manager?
Well, that has got nothing to do with it.
What?
I don't think Alec McLeish should be the right guy for the job, but, you know, let me make my point here. We've all put, as amateur football players, whatever, played against guys that maybe we've thought, you know what, he's not the guy for the job. But we wanted to win the game. We wanted to go out and give our best. Do you know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with Alec McLeish. Or what is this spoiled attitude? Do you think, if talking about managers going by, they wouldn't have suffered that. And see if you kind of get them on side, then he shouldn't be the guy. But they need to look at themselves first, because at the end of the day, no matter what tactics he gives them, he kind of get them to make the effort.
Well, that's an interesting one about effort, because any pro I've ever spoken to says that the notion that you go on the field and you don't try is rubbish. They say that has literally never happened. That's what they say. However, fans, how often do we get fans on the phone, or you've probably been there yourself, where you say they look as if they're not trying? So it must be something that's causing it, Hugh. I don't believe that the players go out there and don't try. I don't believe that. So is it because then that they are ill prepared, they're set up poorly, they're lacking confidence? It must be something. It must be one of those, because I don't think players are going to go out and say, nah, don't think I'll try.
I would have to have Palmer, Bates, McKenna and Shinny in front of me and say, how do you explain two goals inside the first 10 minutes, and get their professional take on it? But thereafter we were goosed, because the team went into the shell, players then began to panic, and the third goal, 5 minutes into the second half, was the killer. Mm. So that's last night. This is bigger than last night. This is the future. Need to address the future. Is the right man there? What is to become of us in the games ahead against Russia, Belgium? At the moment, we have a problem with some players who appear reluctant to play for Scotland. We have to look at the big picture here.
Derek, the Shinny one is difficult, because you read his comments in the paper this morning, you got to feel sorry for him. I mean, he's talking about, yeah, no, I won't be picked for Scotland again, that type of thing. He clearly wasn't the only one who underperformed, so there's no chance that he should be hung out to dry. At the same time, everyone watched the game, everyone saw where the goals, what side of the park they came from, and he clearly had a difficult evening.
He did, and it's one of these things. But he wasn't really playing left back at times. At times he was the third centre back, which brought him in 30, 40 yards. And I think that was an unusual position for him to play. But he got caught out twice. It's as simple as that. And the third goal is the one that gets me. There's a ball into the box from 40 yards wide on the left, and McKenna's 6'2". He hardly jumped with the striker. Mm. You know, and it's a wonderful header.
See, Mark Wilson's take on that, though, is because it's Shinny's man. Shinny dropped that runner.
But Shinny's 5'8". There's no way he's going to get near him with the ball in the air like, and he's standing there doing nothing. And he ran towards McKenna. McKenna didn't
from behind
jump
him,
for it. But he's watching the play. McKenna's watching him running at him and didn't jump. As a centre-half, you cannot do that.
01419511025. Stephen says, I wonder if Bournemouth would prevent an England international from being called up due to a synthetic pitch.
Well, as I say, in the grand scheme of things, the synthetic pitch and the loss of Ryan Fraser is not the top priority.
Well, maybe not, but it does feed into this whole question about, you know, how committed the players are to playing and what control clubs have.
The short and simple answer is that Eddie Howe would probably have released the player for England. I am reading Eddie Howe's mind. I don't know. You've asked me for a snap response. That's my snap response. Eddie Howe would not have said no to England. However, where are we going? Where are we going? I mean, we're playing a team on Sunday, ranked 211 in the world. Population of that country, and it's laughable to call it a country, the population is roughly half the number of people who go to Celtic Park on league match days. There are 33,000 people who live in San Marino. They haven't scored a goal at home for 6 years. If anything at all goes wrong there on Sunday, Alec McLeish, Peter Grant and James McFadden must immediately hold up their hands and give up their job.
The squad have arrived in San Marino ahead of that one. There were very few positives from yesterday, of course. Alex McLeish, though, insists the squad is very much a work in progress.
There's a lot of inexperience in the squad, and we have introduced a few new names over the last year or so, and it's a process where it can take time, but I know we don't have any time. And I want to get these lads playing to the level that we demand in international scene. But, you know, it's not easy for players to come from, no experience straight into the international team.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all, Hugh. I'm not saying it's an excuse. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the team at kick-off, 11 players, 86 caps between them, That's a concern. And people may accuse that of just being with the benefit of hindsight, but 86 caps between the 11, you need a bit more experience, surely.
I would counter that by saying the team who represented Kazakhstan, for the most part, played their football in Kazakhstan.
Nine of them, 11, yeah.
And Ollie Burke, multi-million pound transfers. McBurney plays at a high level. Shinny, Rangers target. McKenna, Celtic target. McGregor, Forrest, outstanding players for Celtic. Collectively, it is a disgrace that we lost 3-0 to Kazakhstan.
John's in Coatbridge, John.
Hi guys, you've stole my thunder a wee bit there, Shirley. That team last night, right? Now you've got Scott Bain, right? We'll start from the back. Scott Bain's been in the form of his life for Celtic, and McKenna and Shinny have been Aberdeen's two outstanding performers. And then you've got McGinn, who's probably Aston Villa's player of the year. And to me, Cal McGregor or Forrest are in running to the Scotland player of the year. Armstrong seems to be playing all right for Southampton, and McBurnley's firing in the goals, and Ollie Burke seems to have improved a lot since he came up here. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not getting against Big McLeish, right? But to me, it's time for a clear out for the Blazers and Malik McLeish as well. And I've been on here before on a bit. I would love to see Jack Ross, but I don't like to mention the former Celtic manager, right? I've said when he went, I would love him to have took the job. But I think it's time for him to, would you call it, give Jack Ross a wee shot of this job.
I don't think Jack Ross would be interested. There you are.
The players are there, shoot, is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And we've all adhered to that. The players are there. To me, Big Alex just out of touch with the players.
But John, Big Alex can only do, you know, certain things. He can only coach them there. It's what the players do. Hold on. I'm just trying to answer you. The players have got to do. You're absolutely right what you're saying. And I said at the top of the programme, the players are in the form of their lives that he picked. That's why I was delighted it was a young side. Delighted that they've all got a chance. But they blew it. The manager will always take the blame for it because he's the man that picks them. But the players have got to look at themselves in the mirror as well. John, you can't just keep blaming the manager.
John, I honestly believe that if Jack Ross gets Sunderland up, he will be far more enthused by the idea of going in an upward direction with Sunderland than he would be about taking the Scotland job. He is, in managerial terms, a very young man. So at least you've come up with a name, John.
To me, well, maybe not just Jack Ross, shoot, as I said, right, but I've been on here before and said that when your man left Celtic at one point, right, I would love to have seen Jack Ross get that job, right? But the fact is we've all agreed to this for a wee change, me and you, Hugh, that the players they put out last night, but they're all in good form, you know what I mean? So where does the problem lie then? I know, as Derek said, right, obviously, the manager picks the team. So are they not just playing for the manager? Are they looking for something new? You know what I mean? Because to me, I just think Alec McLeish is out of touch with these players, these young guys. Because especially, some of the players are in the form of their life now. And to me last night, as I say, I was fortunate not to see the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're lucky. You're the lucky one.
The problem is, John, you've got James McFadden and Peter Grant, who are big time in there as well, helping out.
Well, I don't think anyone's saying that they're not to blame either, though. There's a management structure.
What I'm saying is, you're saying Alex is out of touch with the football and everything else, but you've got two young men there.
No, James is certainly what you would consider young. Peter will be somewhere in the... Right, thank you to John in Coatbridge. 01419511025. We do have a game tonight, remember, Partick Thistle in the Championship. Big one for them. We'll look at it, and of course, more Scotland calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here, 20 minutes until kick-off in the Championship between Partick Thistle and Inverness, so we'll look at that one in a moment. Let's speak to Kenny in Airdrie first, though. Hi, Kenny.
Evening, guys. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you, Kenny.
He sounds like he's got a bit of a cold there.
He does. He's struggling, Kenny, but he's off tomorrow. He's a rare day off for us tomorrow. He'll recover. He'll be back with a bang on Monday.
Good to hear. No, listen, guys, it's just about the Scotland fiasco. I'm 55 this year, probably same age as Derek, and a wee bit younger than
you. You're just
a
wee bit older than me, yeah.
No, listen, Kim, I've not qualified for donkey's years, but I really think we need to structure our leagues again. I think I've said this to you before, and I know the TV thing and that, but I think we've actually created a league, a fear. You know, the top two, the two with the money, Celtic and Rangers, can obviously always compete at that top end, but I think we've made it that tight that every team plays with fear. You know, below them, and the fear of dropping into the bottom six and then into the relegation battles and things. I would like to see a league of 16 or 18 back and continue that down the leagues and make it a lot easier for people to actually play football and enjoy it again rather than being so cutthroat.
Well, Kenny may well be right, Hugh, and it does all feed into the one point. You can't help but think it's a conversation for another day purely because Did we lose last night because the Kazakhstan league has a better structure than ours?
You know, at the start of the season, Kenny, like the rest of us, was enthused by our league because we had Kilmarnock and Hearts, Kenny's team, and Celtic and Rangers and Aberdeen and, you know, the Hibs under Neil Lennon. Everyone was agreeing that we had a better league than we had for years. I don't think that what happened last night and where the national side is going has anything to do with our major league or the need to reconstruct our major league. Kazakhstan's league, how does that look? I have no idea. Celtic failed to qualify for the Champions League because they lost to a Greek team. The Greek league, it's normally
in
chaos.
And I know these things can help. Kenny is right, they definitely can help. But if you look at, what was the fashionable one a few years ago? We should have been like Iceland, copy Iceland. The Icelandic league is, you know, irrelevant compared to the strength of their national team. Belgium are the number one ranked team in the world. So there, the strength of their international team outweighs the strength of their national league. So you struggle to see why that would be the be-all and end-all. We are in a weird place though, Hugh. I mean, look at this tweet from Thomas Brooks. Can the players have it in the back of their minds that if we don't do well in the group, we still have the playoff lifeline? It's supposed to be easier to qualify. This is what's strange. Believe it or not, it doesn't feel like it at the moment. We actually do have something to look forward to.
But they should be more relaxed if that is the case. You know, have a go at it, because you know you've got that. If you do fail, then you've got the semi-final and the final to play. So that should be make them even more, rather than being tense in these games.
But it's another aspect to you, because now it's like we need to, we can't sleepwalk towards that playoff and be in terrible form and low in confidence when it comes around.
Well, we have Finland to play in that playoff. Now, I'm willing to bet that Finland are better than Kazakhstan. So there's no point in taking comfort from something that's way down the line. We have a national football setup at the moment which has gone very dull, very unimaginative, very pessimistic looking. And we need to be re-energised and galvanised.
It shows you how bad it was though, Derek, because we did win the Nations League group. We did all we had to do. Sure, we secured the playoff, which is the first in a long time. It's the closest we've come. But no one cares. No one's bothered about that tonight because it was so bad last night.
I know. And that's the big downer. Nobody can believe it. You know, the lack of fight. I wouldn't say the lack of effort, because they certainly tried. It just wasn't there last night. And that's something they've got to take into consideration. The biggest thing now, I would imagine after the game, Alex has sat these players down and he's gone through them and asked what happened, get their views. But see, when they were on that flight today, heading for Italy, and I would imagine all his thoughts are on San Marino. That's gone. We've taken all the stick for it, but we can't have that in our minds when we play on Sunday. We have to be focused and get our result on Sunday.
Having been on many of these trips, Hugh, what would the atmosphere have been like on that plane? You've got players, coaching staff, SFA hierarchy, press, all in one.
The atmosphere.
Flight.
The atmosphere would have been tense, because those players who care enough to go online and see what journalists have written about the team and the game, some will take the huff because they don't like the mark they've been given out of 10. The SFA will be hiding under the first class seats and being unresponsive, will not go near any press people. Go back to the golden era, and you know, Derek will know all the names I'm about to mention here. When something went wrong for Scotland, Ernie Walker, who was then, I think, called the General Secretary of the SFA, in other words, the Chief Executive, Ernie would be the first man up and give you his view on what was happening, because he truly cared.
Big thank you to Kenny in Airdrie. Let's take a quick look at Partick Thistle Inverness, some Friday night football. I think it'll be healthy for us to just take a breath and think about something else just for a couple of minutes, then we'll get straight back to it. Partick Thistle up against Inverness tonight, of course. Hugh Keevans, it's really is a huge night. A win at home could lift them out of the relegation zone and up to 7th. It shows you how tight the league is. Gary Caldwell has been speaking to Andrew McLean.
I think they're a very good team. I think the result we had up there was one of the best results of the season. To go and beat them in the manner we did was impressive, but we know they're a very good side. And in fact, recently I think they've probably played some of the best football in the division. The game at Dundee United in the cup sticks out. I was at it. They changed the shape since we played them. They've went to a 4-2-3-1, and when they play that, I think they have creative players that are very dangerous, and we have to be at our best to beat them. But we know from the game up there that we can beat them, and we have to go in with that mindset.
Quite a big incentive as well. If you win, you go up to to seventh?
Yeah, I think every game we just look at 3 points. We don't look at where it takes you in the league. It's important we win for our own momentum and we keep that going. The result on Saturday against Falkirk, whilst we wanted to win the game, when you draw away from home, if you win the next game, it becomes a very good point. So we have to focus on getting the 3 points. The consistency and the quality is there. We just have to produce it for longer and try and get it for a whole 90 minutes. And if we can do that, then we can beat anyone in this league. And we know that, but it's up to the players to go out and produce that for 90 minutes.
Great night in prospect. Mm-hmm. The Maryhill Jags can do themselves a real favour by leapfrogging Falkirk and Queen of the South and putting pressure on Queen of the South, who have dropped like a stone. The Cali Jags have a potentially big finish to the season coming up because they are very much in the playoff hunt, and they've also got the Scottish Cup semi-final with Hearts at Hampden. So John Robertson has done a terrific job there, and shall I say it?
Go on then.
No, don't.
I think Cali Thistle can win there tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think they're a very, very good side. Watching them against Dundee United, they do have a bit of quality when they play well. I mean, they lack a wee bit of consistency at times, as a lot of teams do. But against Dundee United, they were well up for it. They played some great stuff and deserved to win the game. And I think if the two of them play to their full potential tonight, that is going to be one cracking game at Firhill.
Yeah, the Thistle team, Jamie Sneddon in goal, Christy Elliott, James Penrice, Stephen Anderson, Stuart Bannigan, Scott McDonald, Gary Harkins, Craig Slater, Lewis Mansell, Jack McMillan, and Stephen Saunders on the bench. Aaron Lennox, Sean McGinty, Blair Spittle, Chris Doolan, Miles Storey, Aidan Fitzpatrick and Joe Cardle. A mad, mad league, Hugh Keevans. Oh, yeah. It is so tight.
Well, as I say, Stephen Dobby has scored about 95 goals for Queen of the South this season, and they're in danger of being relegated.
Because he hasn't scored for about 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah, at the same time, at the other end of the table, you've got Cali Thistle, who were out of it, out of the playoff places for a part of the season.
Thistle are only 11 points away from the playoffs.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, get the relegation question is the big one, but they're 11 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a mad league, but mad leagues are good. Madness is good.
Absolutely, it is. 01419511025. And we're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB, where we're cutting through to the real issues here. David Hunter says, why does Hugh Keevans always sound like he's got a cold? Why do you sound like you've got a cold tonight?
Because you've got the cold. Yeah, okay. But I do own up to a congenital problem with nasal congestion.
No, but that's fine. But tonight in particular, you sound like you've got a cold because
I've got one.
There we go. I think it's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to show off your footballing knowledge, take on Hugh Keevans or Derek Johnson and try and win yourself the signed ball at the end. 01419511025. You need to dial it now, you need to do it quickly because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here waiting on your calls. You can tweet at Clyde SSB as well. A bit later on this hour, your chance to win £500 in cash thanks to the Stove Centre Glasgow. And what's better than that, arguably, is the chance to hear Hugh Keevans say some words that he would never usually say.
This is why I've got a cold. Because I had a cold the other day and I was desperate to get back into the house and get to bed. But I had 3 grandchildren in my daughter's car. And she said, have you seen your papa reading people's books? So these 3 gangsters sat there. So I had the full blown flu by the time I'd finished.
At Clyde SSB, go there right now. You will see the video of Hugh Keevans reading the book, but it's better than it sounds. It's not just Hugh reading a book. He's got the roaring stove from the Stove Centre. He's got the smoking jacket. He's got the fake cat, which he strokes very dramatically. It's wonderful. Anyway, that's a bit later on. This first.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Not a classic week for the pundits, I tell you. Ooh. Mark Wilson humbled last night. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. They're trying to go one better and one of them is going to take on Terry from Cathcart. Hi, Terry.
Hiya.
How are you tonight?
Hi,
Terry.
Guy.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, good.
Feeling in confident mood?
So.
I mean, last night's contestant won, Terry, just to lift his spirits a little bit after all the doom and gloom with the football. So we'll see what we can do for you. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it is Derek Johnson. And it's heads. Hugh Keevans up against Terry from Cathcart. Let me give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his ear hole. Make sure he doesn't know what you're saying, Terry. And we'll get your clock up and running. 30 seconds. Head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Who was the Scotland manager prior to Gordon Strachan?
Pass.
Seahorses feature on the badge of which English Premier League team?
Brighton.
Scotland's women will face which side in their World Cup warm-up at Hampden?
Jamaica.
Central Demolition Limited, the shirt sponsor of which Scottish Championship team?
Poker.
What nationality is Rangers' Borna Barisic?
Croatian.
Which English side was today deducted 9 points by the EFL?
Birmingham.
And who is currently the lowest ranked nation in the FIFA World Rankings, men's?
San Marino.
Okay, Hugh Keevans, are you with us?
I am.
Right, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Okay.
Who was the Scotland manager prior to Gordon Strachan?
Levine.
Seahorses feature on the badge of which English Premier League team?
Pass.
Scotland's women will face which side in their World Cup warm-up at Hampden?
Pass.
Central Demolition Limited is the shirt sponsor of which Scottish Championship team?
Falkirk.
Which nationality is Rangers' Borna Barisic?
Croatian.
Which English side today deducted 9 points by the EFL?
Birmingham.
And who is currently the lowest ranked nation in the men's FIFA World Rankings?
San Marino.
Tell you what, Terry, what do you think of the competition tonight?
That's pretty close, mate. Pretty close.
I think it is pretty close. Let's find out exactly how close. Who was the Scotland manager prior to Gordon Strachan? It was Craig Levein. So Hugh goes into a 1-0 lead. Seahorses feature on the badge of which English Premier League team? Terry said Brighton. You'll know that's not true though, because they're the Seagulls.
Seahorse.
It's actually quite an obvious one. It's a badge you will have seen a million times, and you've just never really thought of them as seahorses. Newcastle. It's Newcastle. Anyway, I move on. That can be your lesson for the day. Scotland's women will face which side in their World Cup warm-up match at Hampden? Hugh Keevans, I feel like deducting you points because we spoke about this in the office. Jamaica.
Ooh.
Remember, people were cracking jokes about them turning up in the bobsleigh, like Cool Runnings, a film. Anyway, Terry equalises on that one, so it's 1-1. Very impressed with this one. Central Demolition Limited, the shirt sponsor of which Championship team? You both got it right. Falkirk. You both knew it was Falkirk. I'm impressed with that. You both also knew that Borna Barisic was Croatian, so we're still all level. You both knew that Birmingham were deducted 9 points. Ooh. So we're still level. And you both knew that San Marino are the lowest ranked team in the men's FIFA World Rankings. So we have a tiebreaker. Terry, in case you've never heard the tiebreaker before, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to get Hugh Keevans to write his answer down, and I will invite you to give me your attempt afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
The question is this: how many Twitter followers does the Scotland national team have on Twitter? Hugh Keevans, write your answer down. How many Twitter followers does the Scotland national team have on Twitter? Show me your answer, please, Hugh Keevans. I'll be very specific. Terry, what do you think?
52,570.
Okay, so that was 52,570. Hugh Keevans, read out your attempt.
25,088.
25,088. I can tell you the answer, when I checked it yesterday, I hope it's not changed, was 32,500.
So Hugh Keevans is in penalty
shootout win. Hard lines, Terry.
Oh, no problem. Well done, you.
All right, thanks, Terry.
Listen, no shame in that, Terry. What a great effort that was.
I have to tell you that I have more Twitter followers than the SFA then.
See, it's the Scotland national team, not the SFA. Yeah. It's a slightly new account, and I think that's why it's so low. Anyway, I won't bore you with that.
I still have more Twitter followers.
That's because everyone loves you. Have you not noticed?
It's access to me to give me a going over, I think.
01419511025. We do have international football tonight, by the way, if any of you still care. I don't know, maybe we've just decided to take our minds off of it, but we do have international football tonight. England are playing the Czech Republic. More importantly, Partick Thistle against Inverness. Let's speak to Reggie in Coatbridge. Hi, Reggie.
Hiya, how you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah,
Reggie,
good, thank you.
Eric, I've got my wee pal, Barry. Hey. He decided to come up at night for a wee drink and watch the football. He's a Ranger Sport, number myself a sport. He came up my house with a Ranger Sport, a pair of flip-flops. So I'm saying, how embarrassing are my neighbours that my wee mate comes up with a pair of flip-flops on? You know what I mean?
You've been working on that anyway, all day, Reggie.
Been all week.
Listen, I'm having a wee dig at Barry. Right? Eric, what I'm saying is, and Hugh, it's gone thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I honestly think that international football, right, I listened to Derek talk about the love he had for wearing the jersey and all that, and I get that totally, right? But what I think is international football and the day of money, unfortunately, is going to be a thing of the past. And I think if you're on a six-figure salary per week, they're playing club football anywhere in Europe, which there's loads of guys there, right? England, and all that. I'm not saying in Scotland they've got that, right? But I think international football, there is a big loss of interest in it now. And it's unfortunate. My first memory of international football was the 70 World Cup in Mexico, which to me was the finest World Cup ever, right? But I was there. See what you're talking about, Derek. I know we lost the games against Peru and then we drew again around. I remember being a young boy watching that. Yeah. But I remember the same.
Remember the third game when we beat Holland?
Yes.
What a game that was.
That's what I'm saying. But the passion was mega. Everybody, right? And what I'm saying is, I think, for example, I think that one of the guys that's sitting in the Celtic dugout now could easily have been a captain of Celtic, a great Celtic centre-half for years and years to come. Unfortunately, his career was cut short with and I think
John Kennedy.
That's what a lot of guys that are on mega bucks playing club football now. Is I think club football in Europe and worldwide has got that great financially that I think European international football is going to be a thing of the past.
Reggie, you can answer that, Reggie, because it's somebody that has played international football, absolutely loved playing for my country. I think when I get, I mean, I didn't decide whether I was going to go on a trip or not. My club Rangers decided, depending if I was going to get a game for Scotland and we had a massive game the following Saturday, the manager would say, no, you're not going. And I was absolutely gutted. I think players nowadays, it might not look it on the park, but they all want to play for their country. It's a wonderful thing to say, yes, I played for Bournemouth, I played for Celtic Rangers, but I played for my country. That's what every player wants.
I will answer Reggie's international point by referencing the team he says he supports, Celtic. Lack of success has caused interest in the national football team to wane. 21 years of not getting to World Cup finals or European Championship finals has, without doubt, caused interest in the national team to wane. Now, only success will bring that back. And the reference I'll make to Reggie's team, in 1994, Celtic played a midweek game against Kilmarnock in front of 10,000 people. It was a low point, and then Fergus McCann came in and Celtic were reborn. And in 25 years since then, Celtic have built a stadium to hold 60,000 people, and they get 60,000 people in it. It is success that brings people to football. It is lack of success that sends people away.
Reggie's right though, and I'm not saying, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, we're sort of stuck with it, but with the modern game being worth so much money, particularly south of the border, that was always going to impact international football. We keep harking back to Ryan Fraser. Ryan Fraser is an asset of Bournemouth, an expensive asset for Bournemouth. If Bournemouth get relegated, it costs them tens and tens of millions. His contract will be worth a lot of money, and that's why the relationship between club football and international football has changed. But we're stuck with it.
Yeah, we are stuck with it.
And everybody else is in the same boat.
But if we were more successful, if we were qualifying for the Euros or the World Cup finals, I believe that players would be putting as much pressure as they could on their clubs in England to say, look, I really want to go and play for my country.
Yeah, and I mean the Stephen Fletcher one, which people have been mentioning a lot in the last couple of weeks. There used to be a time then, if you were injured, you weren't in the squad, and if you were fit, you were in the squad. Stephen Fletcher's not in the squad due to fitness concerns, but then plays twice between the squad being announced and Scotland playing in Kazakhstan.
The change in that, Gordon, as you know as well, see, if you're injured, you still have to report. The Scotland doctor decides whether you're fit enough to travel or fit enough to play, because it was so easy for a club to phone him and say, no, he's got an ankle injury, he can't come. They didn't believe that. So you now have to travel to the hotel, and then the club doctor will look at you and decide whether you're going to be fit or not.
You can have the discussion beforehand, I think, rather than it getting to that point. That's clearly what happened with Stephen Fletcher.
As I say, we're at a place in time now where 21 years of exile for major competitions. We've now had the worst result in our international history, and we are in a negative place. Therefore, players are more inclined to agree to their club's wishes that they don't travel to play for Scotland. And that's why I say we need to be reborn as an international
team. The ball has to be in the international team's court rather than the club's.
But it's not going to be. That's the
point. But it should be.
The Scotland national team Twitter account has had a bit of an upturn yesterday. So they say that, you know, no press is bad press. That's clearly what's happened yesterday. They're now at 35,000 followers and they have overtaken you. They've overtaken you. But you still won, I think, on the teaser because, yeah, you were still a lot closer. Yeah, don't worry. That's all right. Thank you, Reggie and Coatbridge. 10 minutes in, Partick Thistle nil, Inverness Cali Thistle nil. It's quite an open game so far, Derek. It's end to end.
Thistle are coming forward.
Which one? You can't call them Thistle tonight.
The Highland at Thistle.
Still goalless. Easy save in the end for the Partick Thistle keeper. Let's speak to John and Clydebank. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Good evening. How are we doing?
Good. Thanks, John.
Listen, see my take on Scotland. Right, I've got a couple of points. The first point is, see, as a nation, the whole lot of Scotland, we're all divided. Right? I'll give you an example. I supported Ireland for years. Supported Ireland. I was a Celtic fan. And I started supporting Ireland in the late 80s because of Paddy Bonner, Mick McCarthy, Morris. A lot of Rangers boys, supporters, fell out to Scotland and went and followed England because of Butcher and Woods and that. And then as the years has been passed, there's a certain distrust of both Celtic and Rangers fans of the SFA. The rest of the teams don't trust the SFA because they think that they favour the big Glasgow teams. And to me, the whole Scotland is set up is fragmented. There is no unity. Also as well, I believe people have not forgave Alex McLeish for walking out in Scotland. And that's why he shouldn't get maybe a second chance at the job. There was players yesterday that were playing out. Like the young boy at right back, young Liam Palmer, I always watched him and he was out his depth.
He's not young, by the way, John, no, but I get your point because right. he's a new call-up.
Right, he's a newcomer. Sinead's not played left back in years. Looked out of sorts. Everything was out of sorts yesterday. But this is the whole thing. We have to get behind Alex McLeish because he's in charge.
I
come back into the Scotland fold. I remember when Sean Maloney scored the goal against Ireland, right? And I nearly went through the roof with joy, and I realised I was more the Scotland fan than I was an Ireland fan.
Well, I'll just take you back to one expression you used there, that we have to get behind Alex McLeish. No, we don't. We have to demand the best for Scotland, whether it's Alec in charge or anybody else. We don't have to get behind anyone.
But he's the man in charge just now. Yeah, that's all he's saying.
Yeah, but he's just had the worst result in our history. And, you know, the supporters who were there in Kazakhstan have watched them being vox popped, and they were not convinced. So, as I say, Alan McRae could always come out and say he is our man and he will have the whole of this campaign.
Would that really make a difference though? Because John's just on telling you that people don't really care much for a lot, or some people don't care much for what the Scottish FA have to say anyway. So does that really make a difference?
Well, it does to those who are out with the Glasgow bubble and who blame the SFA for this or that. You know, this is the national team. We have to rise above parochial concerns.
And John is right, isn't he? Because we are incredibly divided. Well, I have the good fortune of looking at this Twitter account every night, Hugh Keevans, and Celtic fans are utterly convinced. They don't just have an inkling. They are utterly convinced that the Scottish FA favour Rangers, and the Rangers fans are utterly convinced that the Scottish FA favour the opposite way. So we are divided.
I said to you in this programme, Gordon, months and months ago, Scottish football runs on spite, malice and mistrust. And I periodically repeat the phrase, and I'll do so again tonight to underline what John has said. So there we have it, all our internal little problems. But we have to address the big picture. You'll win over even those who think that the SFA are against their club. You'll win them over if the national team
wins,
becomes a better prospect than they are at the moment.
These things get highlighted when we don't win games and when we lose so embarrassingly. John, final word to you.
Well, I want to bring you into it, and Derek. Derek, you were there in 78 and unlucky, and still to this day, I don't know why Alan McLeod ever played you at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But the Iran result is the worst ever in Scottish history, as far as I'm concerned. We had world-class players in our team in them days, right?
Yep. Yep.
And we drew one each. Last night wasn't the worst result. It was the Iran, in my humble opinion, Hugh. It was right?
But you know the difference. Sorry to interrupt you, John. But listen, Iran actually qualified for the World Cup. Kazakhstan have done absolutely nothing. I think they've won three games in their history.
The last 10 years, I think
you know,
it was, yeah.
You know, there's a difference between the teams.
I don't mind Alex McLeish. I've always thought he was no bad manager, right? I really do. But there was a lot of call-offs. And then, remember, you only get about a week and you've got to play a game. You're away to Kazakhstan, you've got to take the time zone, the weather, you've got to look at everything. But what he's got to do is have a good show on Sunday and have a good show when we play the Russians and the Belgians.
All right, thank you to John in Coatbridge. It's 0141 951 1025 to join. And not before we do this, though. The highlight of the night, Derek Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Every night this week, we've been gathering round the fire for story time with Hugh Keevans and the Stove Centre Glasgow. HughTube, they're calling it. If you want to see the video, it really is worth watching. Go to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Now, Hugh is about to share a few wise words from a famous footballing autobiography. Now, all you have to do to win £500 in cash is tell us whose autobiography Hugh is reading from. Listen carefully.
Watford is a great club, and I made a mistake leaving there when I did. It looked like we were ready to build and move forward, so the supporters weren't overly happy when I left. However, I was young and in a rush to get to the very top level.
Not an easy one tonight. I'll play that one more time for you.
Watford is a great club, and I made a mistake leaving there when I did. It looked like we were ready to build and move forward, so the supporters weren't overly happy when I left. However, I was young and in a rush to get to the very top level.
0141 951 1025. Whose footballing autobiography is Hugh reading from? You can win £500 if you get it right, thanks to the Stove Centre Glasgow. The lines close at the end of this break. Dial now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. We're about to get their full-time teaser up and running. But before we do that, well, it's time for this. Just any excuse to play it again, really. Yes, all this week we've been gathering around the fire. Story time with Hugh Keevans in the Stove Centre Glasgow. And it's the chance for you to win £500. What's happening is Hugh's sharing a few wise words from a famous footballing autobiography. And now, to win with a chance of winning £500 cash, all you have to do, it's so simple, is just tell us whose book Hugh is reading from. I'll play it one more time and see if we can jog your thoughts.
Watford is a great club, and I made a mistake leaving there when I did. It looked like we were ready to build and move forward, so the supporters weren't overly happy when I left. However, I was young and in a rush to get to the very top level.
Did you have good fun recording it, Hugh Keevans?
Oh, yeah. Lovely. As I say, there are things in life that make your grandchildren really, really proud of you. And the sight of their old granddad in his smoking jacket in front of the stove fire just made their day.
Was it your smoking jacket or were you given it?
I'll tell you after.
Very busy phone lines. There are loads lined up, so we're just going to be picking them at random and seeing who gets through to give us their attempt. Right, Graham is in Maryhill first up tonight. I just played the clip. Graham, who do you think it is?
Very random guess. John Barnes.
It is not John Barnes. Derek Johnson. Sorry, Graham and Maryhill. I'm going to fade you down in case you block the right answer out now. Derek, that's who you
said.
That's who you said.
I thought it was as well.
So we're about to. We're going to have to keep going on the phones, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. It's the first time it's happened this week. Ooh. Every time someone's come on the phone this week, they've nailed it first up. But for some reason, we went for the wrong one. Let's try Peter McGonagall. Peter, what's your guess?
Brendan Rodgers.
Ah, Peter, you've nailed it. Well done. £500 is yours, thanks to the Stove Centre Glasgow. Well done to you. Are you going to spend the cash wisely?
Yeah, going to Vegas in June with my boys, 21st.
That'll get you 3 pints.
if you're going to gamble it, do it responsibly. You never know, Peter might come back and turn it into more than that. But 500 is brilliant anyway. Turn it into dollars. Have a good time, Peter. £500 is yours. And that's it. YouTube is over for, I don't know, we need to bring it back at some point, won't we?
Well, there'll be the BAFTA Awards ceremony first of all.
The DAFTA.
Yeah, they were throwing flowers at you and everything, weren't they? And well, bras
those,
and
they were
all
still
sorts
in the pots. Yeah.
You did borrow that smoking jacket. That can't be
yes.
yours.
Yeah, no. I
that was too classy for you.
Yeah.
Partick Thistle nil, Inverness Cali Thistle nil at the moment. Let's get the full time teaser up and running. My sincere apologies, my emails have just crashed on me, which means I can't tell you who sent it in, but the person will know. So thank you for sending it to fulltime@clyde1.com. 12 SPFL managers currently have won the Scottish Cup as either manager or player. Can you name them?
Tommy Wright.
Yes.
Neil Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
Just repeat the
it's really. It's very simple tonight. 12 SPFL managers currently in the SPFL who have won the Scottish Cup as either player or manager.
Derek McInnes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very easy tonight.
Yeah.
It's like one more guess from you. No.
Jim McIntyre. Was that League Cup?
Jim McIntyre.
Yes.
Yes.
There you are.
Mm-hmm. Won it with Kilmarnock in 96-97.
Greg Levine.
Yes.
Even won it with Hearts.
No.
You
don't think so? No. No Craig Levine. Right, we'll leave it there. We've got Neil Lennon, Jim McIntyre, Tommy Wright, Derek McInnes so far. So we'll leave that one there. You can play along on Twitter at Clyde SSB. This question was sent in, I think it was a couple of months ago, so I'm just double checking that nothing's gone out of date since then. I dug it out. Still goalless, Partick Thistle, Inverness, Cali Thistlehugh, and it flashed up on the screen there that the highlights of Scotland against San Marino will be on Sunday night, and it sort of made me shudder a little bit.
Well,
at what could lie ahead.
Well, you know,
surely not.
No. I would go so far as to say it's impossible to lose to San Marino. It would be, without question, it would make Kazakhstan look like a moral victory. So they are hopeless. They are ranked 211 out of 211. They haven't scored a goal for themselves in San Marino in 6 years. They are cannon fodder. A good Scottish junior team would beat them. So yes, the team will change from the one that played in Kazakhstan, but whoever plays will be good enough to beat San Marino. I think it'll be the manner of the victory that's important. If we struggle against San Marino, it will heighten the case for a change of manager.
A good junior team would beat them here.
Yeah.
No.
Cyprus have just beat them 5-0.
Cyprus did beat them 5-0. It
doesn't matter. A good junior team. I would disagree with that.
Well,
completely.
It's
all about opinions.
I've said Auchinleck Talbot, and I'll go back to them because they've performed terrifically well in the senior Scottish Cup competition. And I believe if you played the two of them, Auchinleck Talbot would beat San Marino.
Yeah. DJ, not you, the other one, very unhappy because 54 calls trying to get through to YouTube. I got an engaged tone every time. He's even swore in the tweet. There's only so much we can do. Hundreds of people phone at the one time to try and enter the competition. We're sorry if you couldn't get through. I humbly apologise. John is in Barhead. He has got through to make a point tonight. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Derek.
Hi, John.
I'm on about the playing surfaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hugh,
mm-hmm.
Derek, you remember the 70s, the winter time, right? We were playing in mud. There was hardly any grass. Derek, you were playing at the Albion, the old Red Ash.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Shieldfield against Berwick Rangers. No, the 67 one. But I remember the 71, and I stood in the muck as a fan. And you remember at Shieldfield, Derek.
Was that the 4-0 game?
Yes. The pitch was a bog.
I scored twice.
Aye. And I remember, Derek, going back to the bus. Because I'd done my waders that day.
Oh, that was horrendous.
The whole soaks up in the old buses, and there wasn't even the right heaters in it to drive our socks out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to get at, people saying they can't play in the artificial pitches. I know you understand you don't agree with the pitches, but at the end of the day, Derek, as you know, you've trained the Red Ash, and you know that's how you were better with a black and white TV in maybe 75, 76, because if you put the coloured TV on, you shouldn't see the green for the muck on the park.
Where are you going with this, John?
Well, he's just trying to say that it shouldn't matter, the playing surface, and it's a nice sentiment from John, but the problem is the people who are involved in the game, whether it be management staff, medical staff, whatever, they do think it matters, and that's where our hands are a bit tight.
Well, that's okay. As I say, in the grand scheme of things, synthetic pitches and players from England not being allowed to play on them is a relatively small matter compared to the future, the immediate future of our national football team, who have recorded this humiliating result in Kazakhstan, and question marks against the manager and his management structure and how much players are willing to play for him and why the players not turn up. A whole lot of questions to be answered, including why did the SFA abort the process of looking for a manager when Michael O'Neill said no and turned to someone who had not been the Scotland manager for 10, 11 years? The SFA will not answer that question or any other question, so we'll just have to throw it out there. But I do believe that we need a spark to reignite this national football team, because it's in a dull, mediocre, apathetic place.
Where does that come from, Hugh? Because the nature of the opponent on Sunday, and you've said it yourself about the standard of San Marino, a win, even a relatively convincing win against San Marino, does absolutely nothing for us. Nothing at all.
That's why, first of all, we have to guard against not getting a thoroughly convincing win. If we stutter against San Marino, it will only increase the clamour for a change of manager. So we really, that's the important thing. We must win. If we don't win, then we've had it.
So what do? Hugh, we don't win, the manager, no, you're not good enough, we'll sack him, we'll get rid of Peter Grant and James McFadden, we'll bring somebody new in. But it's the same players that are going to have to go and play again.
Let's be very clear. I know there's a bit of a debate at the moment. Most of the people are coming through on the phones want a change of manager. If we don't beat San Marino, there won't be a debate. This is getting ridiculous.
In every league in Great Britain, when a team is struggling, the manager pays the price. As Derek knows, that's the way football works. And another manager comes in and inherits the same group of players as the guy who went before him. That is also how football works. And it's how international football must work as well if you feel you're headed nowhere. So the SFA, if ever they come out from underneath the bed, will have to, in the fullness of time, address this problem.
Thank you to John in Barhead. Keep those calls coming. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Graham Gunion's got some good names on the teaser.
Matthew
Breckenridge
again,
has got a couple. He's got some wrong as well. Peter Gray. We're looking for 12 managers currently in the SPFL who have won the Scottish Cup as either a manager or a player.
Right.
Okay. So you're doing all right. What are you making of the game so far? Half an hour gone. Partick nil. Inverness
even,
nil.
Even as it gets.
There's not been any great chances. You know, the keepers have not had an awful lot to do. Shots from distance easily gathered by the keepers, but nothing much in the game so far.
They're very open.
Yeah. Did Robbie Nielsen win the show?
Oh, sorry, back to the teaser. Yes, Robbie Nielsen won it with Hearts in 05-06. That's another one. We'll tick him off. 01419511025. I think I said that a second ago. There were one or two difficulties on the phones. I think you crashed them when everyone phoned in for the competition. Yes, Gary Caldwell. So you've got Gary Caldwell, Robbie Nielsen, Tommy Wright, Jim McIntyre, Neil Lennon, Derek McInnes.
You don't have to be a manager. You can be a player.
Sorry?
Well, Gary Caldwell.
I did say as a manager or a player, they had won the Scottish Cup, yeah.
Can't hear you, my nose is blocked.
It's just after 25 to 8. You're going to make it through to the end of the show. That's the good news. I was worried about you when I first heard you this afternoon. I was worried, but I think you're doing all right. You're off tomorrow.
Yes.
So feet up. Lemsip, Horlicks, whatever it is that men of your vintage drink.
It might be something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Derek Johnson.
As a mixer.
Any football for you tomorrow?
No, there are no games on really, is there?
There's a couple.
It's a day in front of the fire, I think.
I noticed in the capital they're trying to get a big crowd for Edinburgh City, Peterhead. Hugh, trying to say to the Hearts and Hibs fans, if you're missing football, come and watch us. It's
not
a top of the table clash.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's a good idea. Always like it when teams
that close to hand, I would go and see that.
Always
as well,
like it when teams think outside the box a bit.
Emilio Izaguirre.
No, Hugh. What are you not getting? Who does Emilio Izaguirre manage?
You said manager or player.
Yeah, they won the cup, yeah, as a manager or a player, but they are a manager now.
Oh, I see.
So you think I'm just looking for 12 people who've won the Scottish Cup?
Right.
Is it Ian McCall?
No. Emilio Izaguirre. That was straight out of the Gordon DL playbook, let me tell you. Let me see. John Clark, who's usually pretty good, I think he tweets in quite a lot, is struggling on 10, which worries me. Let me just make sure. Yeah, I can think of a couple that John's not got. Silence in the studio, though. That is concerning me.
Read the question one more time.
Oh, my goodness. So there are 12 managers in the SPFL who have won the Scottish Cup as a player or a manager. I will give you some thinking time.
That's all.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here. Another incredibly busy night on the phones. Apologies if you can't get through. It's just one of those nights when Scotland do that to you. People are upset. It's understandable. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're going through tonight's full-time teaser. The address you need to send a question into us is fulltime@Clyde1.com. 12 managers currently in the SPFL have won the Scottish Cup as either player or manager. You've been scooshing it so far. You've got Derek McInnes, Neil Lennon, Jim McIntyre, Tommy Wright, Robbie Nielsen, Gary Caldwell. I'll take two more guesses each.
Gary Holt with Kilmarnock against Falkirk.
The Livingston manager?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Bolan?
Yes. Can you remember who he manages at the moment? I think you're just throwing his name in randomly.
No, he's one of the lower leagues. Cowdenbeath. He's in Fife.
Yes, Cowdenbeath. Right. One more from you, Hugh, and then we'll leave it, actually.
Jim McInally.
Yes, one with Dundee United. So you've only got two to get. We'll leave it there because you've got plenty of time to try and get it. George Gilmore says, Keevan, you're a disgrace tonight.
Oh.
Throwing McLeish under the bus every opportunity. His achievements as a manager outweigh any potential candidate. Point at the players, not the manager.
Well, it's not how football works, unfortunately. When at club level or international level things go wrong, even someone with a career like Gordon Strachan got the push eventually. So no one is immune from that kind of pressure.
Okay, there we go. To be fair, I think it's the first tweet we've had in defence of Alex McLeish, so I certainly don't mind providing both sides of the argument.
It's funny, Gordon, be prepared in the next week or so to get questions, because there's a boy I bump into all the time. I'm fed up answering all the questions. You never get them right. I was in the pit stop the other day, Graham. I said, well, why don't you send in some of your
right,
own?
Graham,
he says,
come
I'm
on.
Going to do that. So
step up to the plate, Graham.
Tonight, so he'll listen to you.
Let's have them. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Chris and Irvin will round things off for us. So before that, let's speak to Charlie in Airdrie. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing, Gordon?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's your point today?
Far as I'm concerned, I don't even do Scotland. I don't bother with Scotland at all because it's the same old story.
All right, tell us what's on your mind with things out with Scotland then.
Well, I can't believe it. Derek's sitting there and he's not even mentioned Morelos scoring a goal for Colombia. Only won for 10 minutes.
The 1-1 nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he didn't score,
he
Charlie.
He didn't score the goal.
That'll be why Derek didn't mention it. He didn't score the goal.
He didn't score the goal?
No, it was 1-0 and Falcao scored.
It was over in Japan.
Well, I thought he'd scored the goal. No. But the thing is, he got his chance and as I say, he came on and I heard he made a good impression. He was only on for 10 minutes.
I think it was 3 minutes, according to. Well, listen, you can still make a good impression in 3 minutes.
Well,
just getting on as a bonus when you see the strikers at Columbia I've got. It's a huge
bonus.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Some of the ones that are there, like, they cost a fortune. Mm. And the thing is, I believe this could maybe bring his value up even more, seeing he's getting into the, his international team.
Yeah, I think that's true, Hugh. I mean, I don't think anyone would get carried away about the 3 minutes and what that contained. No. But as soon as you become an international, as soon as you get call-ups and you get appearances, it does. It adds
to
the value.
Another game, Hugh, against Korea in the next few days. So if he gets a start there or whatever, it'll do him a world of good.
And it's a learning experience as well, Hugh. If you're training with Falcao, etc., you're going to become a better player.
I think Alfredo Morelos has made no secret of the fact that Rangers are a stepping stone and he wants to go and play probably in England. So international football, as you rightly say, enhances your value, heightens your profile. So at the first serious opportunity, Morelos will want away, and it is the transfer fee that will encourage Rangers to allow that move to take place or put them off the idea.
Charlie, you want to come back in on that?
Oh, I've got my facts hanging there. I don't know how I managed to say he scored a goal and all that, but I must have imagined things. I knew it was 87 minutes or so, make a one. I can remember seeing that right enough. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is that's him playing for the Colombian team now, so he's getting noticed, and as I say, could only bring his value up even more. And this same thing, as I said to Derek 3 or 4 weeks ago, Derek told me and said 10 million. I says, wait a minute, come on, Derek, 20 million at least, you know. I would even bat an eyelid at 25 million for Morelos.
I think that's what the club are looking at. I think anything 15 on, then they would certainly take it, that's for sure.
It's just a flavour of what's to come, Hugh. The domestic stuff will be back with us before we know it.
Charlie, he makes valid points, but the big question to be asked here, if Morelos is sold, are you going to get someone, because he'll finish the season with 30 goals or more for Rangers, are you sure you're going to get someone who can give you 30 goals?
Hugh, Rangers have been searching, I would imagine, for the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, it's not that they've not been searching, it's just because it's a credit to Alfredo Morelos. Yeah. It's a compliment, because it won't be easy to replace, regardless of.
But they're going to have to find somebody, and they're not just going to wait until he's sold and say, right, we better look for a striker. That's all happening now, and they will have somebody in mind, I would imagine, should Morelos go.
Fast approaching half time at the Energy Check Stadium at Firhill. Hugh Keevan, still goalless. Anything you need to tell us about?
I think Thistle are doing well.
Yeah.
Which Thistle? Stop it.
No, good lively stuff. But as Derek said, the game, Cali Thistle had one chance, real chance, which was just sent ever so slightly past the post. But that's the nearest we've come to the deadlock being broken.
It's been a good game though, to be fair. It's been a decent game. Plenty of effort by both sides.
Chris is in Irvine. Hi, Chris.
All right, how are you doing tonight, panel?
All good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
Oh, good, that's good. Right, basically my point is, a few years ago, 2016, I don't think when Celtic went out of Kazakhstan, we thought, oh, let's look at this time zone nonsense. We went over there, went in their time zone, and come back to our time zone. They were making up stupid excuses. I don't get it. We ended on a high. We actually had a bit of hope for Scottish football, and I do understand that the main players of the squad were out with injury or whatever, but that, surely I'm not the only person that saw that coming last night. Celtic struggled over there the first time we went there, and then the second time we went there it was easy because we'd won 5-0 at home.
So, yeah, Hugh, the time zone one ends up looking ridiculous, because hindsight is a wonderful thing. We kept the players on UK time, but let's not forget. In fact, the Scottish FA actually asked Celtic about it, so I can't remember specifically what Celtic did. They weren't there for as long, but Celtic were asked the question. They were asking Man City. This was top advice among sports scientists. It looks stupid now. We look ridiculous because it's very good. All about the alarm clocks and the blackout blinds. You've just been humped by Kazakhstan, but it was done for the right reason.
Yeah, but you know, again, it's not the be all and end all here. They've gone through the time zones and they've played very, very poorly. It's one game. It has provided the worst result ever in Scotland's international history. But where are we going? That's the question. You know, if we
credit in Kazakhstan, but we don't know anything about it. But the other side of the world, and to say, I don't know if it really is the worst defeat. It's only that if you didn't see it coming. Some people are expecting it now, because we've not actually saw Scotland play.
I certainly didn't expect a defeat, Chris. A 3-0 defeat. I didn't expect that.
Because that's the thing. That's how bad it was, Hugh, is that people are well aware of how limited we are. But that was still... come on. At the very most, you were expecting a stuffy game. At the worst case scenario, I think most people... You think maybe a point, even a narrow defeat, but there's more to it than that. It was a heavy scoreline and a terrible performance to go with it.
Yeah, it's got the campaign off to a shocking start. It puts us under pressure from the word go. Now we're going to play the worst team in the world with some misgivings about how it might pan out in San Marino. And I repeat, it's not just about these games back to back. It's about where we are as a national football team, and where we are is in a dull, mediocre, apathetic place where we don't enjoy a great support from what was once a huge supporter base, and we are crying out for something to reignite Scotland as an international football team.
Have you got any credible suggestions in terms of a name, because these conversations are a bit bizarre. Alex McLeish is still the manager, but already, I mean, Twitter is full of it. Did we not have Jack Ross on the phones? We've had Steve Clark, we've had Derek McInnes, people saying bring back Gordon Strachan. It's
I think I have
quite
to
put a wide ranging discussion.
Yeah, I have to put all the pressure on the SFA, the chief executive, the president. They abandoned the search for a manager when Michael O'Neill said no. They abandoned the search. They did not do their due diligence and see who was out there. They went for Alec McLeish, who has a long-standing friendship with the president, Alan McRae. If there is to be a change of manager, and I underline, if there is to be a change of manager, it's their responsibility. It's why they're there. It's why they're called the governing body of Scottish football.
People want you to pick the manager, though, I'm telling you. I think you should pick
him. I think it's a difficult one. I think we may have to go for him.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you can talk about the Jack Ross, but they're too young. They don't want to leave, you know, the day-to-day stuff.
I mean, to be fair, Jack Ross has actually spoken on record a number of times about it being a burning ambition of his to manage Scotland.
On,
but whether that's now or not would be the question.
I wouldn't have thought so.
We have to think outside the box from time to time. The Republic of Ireland did it over the years. You know, Jack Charlton and... The Italian gentleman whose name
Trapattoni,
Giovanni Trapattoni. You know, they were capable of thinking outside the box. We have to be capable of doing the same thing.
Thank you to Chris in Irvine. We're looking for 12 SPFL managers who won the cup as a manager or a player, the Scottish Cup. You've got Derek McInnes, Neil Lennon, Jim McIntyre, Gary Holt, Tommy Wright, Robbie Nielsen, Gary Caldwell, Gary Bolan, Jim McAnally. You've got two to get. There is a bit of a question mark over one of them, I must say, but we're being generous to him. We're being generous to the guy. We're giving him the benefit of the doubt. There's nothing wrong with that. We've got two to get.
There's one that was mentioned.
Three to get.
Three to get.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Quick.
7, 8.
Did we mention John Robertson?
You didn't, but you should have, because he's one.
Right.
John Robertson, so we've one to get.
Two to get.
Initials.
You didn't see. I heard you talking about it at the break. He manages in the Championship.
Gary Naismith.
Yes.
And
this is the one that is a bit because he wasn't part of the squad on the day that won the cup, but he was there. He was at the club at the time. Let's just give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I didn't say played.
But anyway, said one.
Look, you've got one more to get. So
you're telling us he bought a pie at Hampden and he's part of the band.
What's his initials?
Oh, that's so easy.
Well, give it.
JJ.
Jonathan Johansson.
Thank you, Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans. Thanks for all the calls and tweets. It was really busy. Apologies if you couldn't get through. It was one of those nights. We are off tomorrow. Can you believe it? A rare Saturday for Hugh Keevans to go and do what on earth he likes. But we're back on Monday night, 6 o'clock. Hugh will be here alongside Mark Wilson next week. Stay where you are, because GBX Friday is up next.